I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Time passes very quickly. I have not said this for some time now, but I think you will realize that we are coming to the end of winter, and very soon we will be entering into spring. And the 3 months of spring, you will realize, will pass us by very, very quickly. And then before we know it, winter is back again. So you see how fast time flies. So what do we do with the life that we have on this earth? While we have no breath in our nostrils, my dear friends, let us endeavor to serve him with all our heart, our soul, mind, and our strength, so that when the Lord returns, we may all be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, this morning, my topic is, let's appreciate fellow believers. Let us appreciate fellow believers. And I'm talking about the example that was set by the Apostle Paul in the way he related with the folks in the city of Philippi. Now, as you know, the church in the city of Philippi was founded by the Apostle Paul. It was founded in his second missionary journey. Before that time, Paul was focusing his attention on ministering in the Asia Minor region. But the Holy Spirit forbade him to do so and caused him and guided him to go over to Europe to preach the gospel in Europe. And so he came to this first city. He passed through other cities, but he came to the city of Philippi, and that was where he preached the gospel and established the first church, first European church founded by him in Europe, the church in the city of Philippi. Now, Paul wrote this letter some 10 years after he founded that church. Now, when he went to the city of Philippi to bring the gospel to that church, he met with severe persecutions, you will remember that. And then he was arrested and then thrown into maximum security imprisonment after that very, very severe beating he and his missionary partner Silas received. And then while they were imprisoned at midnight, they sang and praises unto the one true living God. And their praises were all heard by their fellow prisoners. And then God intervened. God sent a big earthquake that caused the prison gates to be flung open, and the Philippi jailer thought that all the prisoners had escaped and he wanted to commit suicide, but Paul stopped him. And then this man asked a very, very famous question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And then Paul was then honorably discharged from prison because he was a Roman citizen. They had no business to beat him because he was really a Roman citizen. And then he was honorably discharged from prison. And after that, he went next to the city of Thessalonica. So Paul left this place, and it was not after 10 years that he wrote this letter, the letter to the folks in the church in the city of Philippi. Paul loved this church very much. He didn't receive monetary support from most of the churches that he ministered to. But he did receive support from this church, the church in the city of Philippi. Now, why didn't Paul want to be receiving support from the other churches that he ministered to? Now, the reason was Paul didn't want to be seen as abusing his apostolic authority. He did not want to be seen as being covetous. So he did not receive any support from the other churches, but from the church in the city of Philippi. Why? Because he had great confidence in this church, that the members of this church truly loved him and respected his apostolic authority. Now, this morning, as we consider Paul's relationship with this church, I'd like us to see that Paul was actually very, very grateful to God for this good man in the city of in the church in the city of Philippi. He appreciated them very, very much. He appreciated their fellowship very, very much. So first of all, I want to talk about Paul's gratitude for good men. Yes. And then I want to talk about now Paul's gratitude expressed in prayer to God Almighty, his gratitude for good men. He expressed his gratitude in prayer unto the one true living God. And then finally, I want to talk about Paul's gratitude to these folks in the city of Philippi on account of their generous support or generous contribution to the work of the gospel. So, first of all, Paul's gratitude for good men. We read this in verse 3. Paul says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now, Paul was very grateful to God. As he thought of these folks in the city of Philippi, he thanked God for them. Now, do you think when we think of people, all right, even when we think of our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are inclined to say favorable things about them or have nothing to say about them or have unfavorable things to say about them? Now, think for a minute, yes? What kind of thoughts do we have of people generally? Now, I suppose if we do not know people, or we do not know the people, or some people, we would possibly have nothing to say about them. But when we get to know the people better, as the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. Yes, and it is very, very likely that we will have less and less favorable thoughts of such people rather than more and more favorable thoughts about such people. And in time, instead of having favorable thoughts of people whom we know well, we have unfavorable thoughts about them. And we might even become very contemptuous of them. And that is how we would normally think as human beings. Yes, but look at the Apostle Paul. That was not the case with him, and his example is something that we ought to follow. Now remember, he knew these folks in the city of Philippi for something like 10 years now. Some might say that, well, because Paul actually didn't know these people very well because his contact with them was not that close. His contact with them was far and between, and therefore he didn't know them very well, and therefore he could not have unfavorable things to say about them because he really didn't have very close contact with them. But friends, let us realize this truth. The Apostle Paul was not any ordinary person. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And being an apostle, Paul would surely be gifted with a more usual understanding of human beings than most people. Yes? And then he would have known the Philippians very well because of the gift that was given to him. He surely would have known them. Yet, Paul thought well of them. After 10 years, he thought well of them. Yes, now this tells us how spiritual the folks in the city of Philippi must have been. But we know that it is not critical of people, no matter how good they are. Yes, we will surely be able to find something that is not very nice to say about them. But that was not the case with the Apostle Paul, who truly appreciated the folks in the city of Philippi. He truly loved them. Yes, he loved them, and he cared very much for the Philippians. So when he remembered the Philippians, which was in every prayer of his, he would be filled with rejoicing, and he would give thanks unto the Lord every time he thought of the Philippians. Now, if Paul were to focus, now think about it, if Paul were to focus on the weaknesses and the shortcomings of the folks in the city of Philippi, would he have unfavorable thoughts about them? Yes, no? The answer is yes, he would. Now, did he know that there was some pride in the church in the city of Philippi? Yes, he knew. And that is what he wrote in the second chapter of the book of Philippians. He cited the example of the Lord Jesus Christ for the folks of the city of Philippi to follow. And so he said this to them. Let nothing be done through strife and through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. And then he also said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Yes, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he is God. Yet he was willing to humble himself to take on the form of a servant, the form of a slave, and to be made in the likeness of men. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself to the extent that he finally went to the cross of Calvary to die for sinful men. The death that was designated only for the worst kind of criminals. But that was the kind of death our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. Now that was the kind of humility he wanted the folks in the city of Philippi to understand and to have. But he didn't single any group of people and say, you know, you people are so proud, you ought to humble yourself and so on and so forth. He did not do that. He just cited the Lord Jesus Christ as the example for them to follow. And then when we come to chapter 4 in the book of Philippians, remember there were two women who could not get along with one another, Euodias and Syntyche. These were fellow women folk in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were zealous in their service to the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they could not get along with one another. Now, Paul could have scolded them publicly, could have written that and rebuked them in very severe language. But Paul did not do that, right? Yeah, he merely says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. He says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That's all he said. You see how gentle his language was. He really thought well of them. He really thought well of the members in the church in the city of Philippi. Now, as we said, it is not easy to think well of people, but we must. We must, and especially, my dear friends, we are thinking of our fellow believers, our fellow laborers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to love them. The Lord says this. He has given us this commandment to love. What did he say? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He has commanded us to love one another. And how do we love one another? My dear friends, one way is, of course, to think of them in a very generous way. Just as Paul thought well of the folks in the city of Philippi in a generous way. Yes, that was how he showed his love for them. But sad to say, sometimes the people who do not think generously and do not think well of other people are ministers of the gospel, especially when they talk about their fellow ministers. Years ago, there was this minister. Every time he opened his mouth and spoke about his fellow ministers, he had nothing good to say about them. He would be very, very critical of them. He would be talking about their failures, their shortcomings, and so on and so forth. Very critical of them. But I suppose if those things that he said that were not wrong, that were wrong about this, wrongs that he spoke about his fellow ministers were real wrongs in the sense that they were expression of unbelief or failure in their following good doctrines, or they are preaching false doctrines, then it was legitimate for that minister to be critical of those ministers who were guilty of those wrongs. But if it was just a matter of the style of preaching, or even the application of the truth of the Word of God, then he should not be critical. We all know that the Word of God has only one interpretation. Any truth has got only one interpretation, but there could be different kinds of applications. your application to the truth could be different from my application to the same truth. But we differ in applications, but we understand the basic truth and we understand the truth in the same way. But different applications we must allow people to have. Now, to be generous in our thinking of others is not only for ministers, but it is also for all of us. Like Paul, let us think very kindly of other people. Paul thought very kindly of the folks in the city of Philippi, in spite of their shortcomings, of course. Let us think kindly of other people. Let us remember, love is kind. Yes, love is kind. And so let us be very, very tolerant of the deficiencies of other people. Now, I'm not talking about their sins. We must never be ever be tolerant of the sins of other people. We must never ever be tolerant of our own sins. Sins we must never be tolerant of. But if we are talking about the failures to perform their duties, not because of anything else, but because they do not have enough talents to perform those duties well, we should not be very, very critical of them. We should actually close one eye and accept that kind of service. Then, love suffers long. Love is patient. Now, if there are mistakes to be corrected, let us lovingly correct the mistakes that other people make. Then let us not keep a record of wrongs. People might have wronged us. Remember this truth, love thinketh no evil, which means we are not to keep a record of wrongs which people do to us. Yes, because love thinketh no evil. And then let us be very inclined to look at the strong points of other people. Because love, the Word of God says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love overlooks deficiencies. Love is very ready to believe the best of other people. And love perseveres. Love perseveres in enduring the deficiencies of others. In other words, love protects. It protects the reputation of people. And that is what we should try to do, my dear friends. Let us appreciate our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we show our appreciation of them by being very protective over them. But the folks at Philippi must ask themselves whether they themselves deserve to be thought of as worthy by other people, especially by the Apostle Paul. Now, if we want to be worthily thought of by other people, then we ourselves must ask whether we are worthy to be thought of as such. This means, my dear friends, we must never ever think that we have arrived and that we are now good enough to be thought of as being worthy by other people. But rather, we should think of ourselves as having not arrived yet, but all the time straining and stretching to become the witnesses that the Lord wants us to be, and striving and stretching to be the good examples that the Lord wants us to be. And so we must strive to make sure that we have a good report, not only from God, but from men as well. Let us never be so quick as to say, so long as I'm right in the sight of the one true living God, I'm all right. It is true. We all must be right in the sight of the one true living God. But friends, it's true. But I dare say that often when we say, so long as I'm right in the sight of the one true living God, I'm all right, we are actually being defensive, right? And we know that we have not been a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our witness has not been good. And then people have bring charges against us because of our failure in our testimony. And because of our failure in our testimony, we are causing people to stumble. And then we have no defense at all. We have no arguments against that at all. And so we resort to this defense. So long as I'm right in the sight of the one true living God, I'm all right. But actually, you're not all right. Yes? Friends, a good report is vitally important. We need it to be recognized as worthy. Yes, a good report is very important. I read this story about this certain captain by the name of Captain Beagle. Yes, he was the giver of the gospel. So wherever he traveled, he was a captain of a ship, wherever he traveled, he would give out the gospel. One night, while he was about to go to bed in his room, of course this was not on the ship, but on land, while he was about to go to bed, he was very tired, when a man knocked at his door. This man was a former ruffian who came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry. And so he, Captain Beagle, and this former ruffian started to talk. And then they talk about another man. And this former ruffian was wanting to bring this man to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Captain Beagle asked him, why don't you give him a gospel? Why don't you give him a Bible? And this man said, too soon, not yet. Yes. And Captain Beagle said, what do you mean? He said, because he has another Bible. What do you mean? Captain Beagle said. And Captain Beagle said to him, you are his Bible. Yes, you are his Bible. Yes. And if you fail, Christ fails. If you leave Christ, Christ will be revealed by you to him. So you see how vitally important it is to have a good report from men. So writing about this incident in his memoirs, he said this, I did not sleep that night. I had been called a thief, a liar, a foreign spy, a traitor, a devil, in public and in private. How could I sleep that night? So Captain Beagle wrote. Friends, let us never say a good report of us by others is not important. It is. Yes, we all have to bear a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to bear a good witness for him. By the grace of God, let us pray. Let us all pray that we may be seen as worthy servants and worthy witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must pray that prayer. Yes, Lord, make me a good servant of yours. Make me a good witness of yours. Now let's come back to the Apostle Paul. Now he was not selective about people in thinking about their worthiness for him to give thanks for. He didn't say, oh, I'll give thanks for this particular group. The others don't qualify to be in this select group. No, he didn't think it in that manner. He said this in verse 3 and in verse 4. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Now he did not just think of certain people or a group of people, but he thought of all of them. And he thanked them, and he thought well of them, and he thanked the Lord for all of them. Friends, in dealing with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, those who are members of the household of faith, let us, by the grace of God, be generous in thinking about other people. Not just a few people, but let us be generous in thinking about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not just a few, but all. Let us be very generous in thinking about them. Yes, it's not hard. It's not easy. It's hard because naturally we are very inclined to favor some, and naturally we are very inclined to discriminate against others. But let us be like the Apostle Paul in the way he thought of the folks in the city of Philippi. Yes, he thought of all of them, and he thought very, very generously of all of them. Now, as we think of Paul's generosity in dealing with the folks in the city of Philippi, let us not forget where he learned that generosity from. Of course, he learned that generosity from none other than from his Lord, from his God. Now, look at how generous our God is in dealing with us. Remember Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 10. What does it say? Yes. He has not dealt with us after our sins. You see how generous he is in dealing with us. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us. as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That is how generous our Lord deals with us. Not only has he removed our sins, friends, understand this truth. Not only has he removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, but he has credited us with his righteousness. Think of it, friends. He credited to us his righteousness. And not only that, yes, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What it means is, friends, he credited his righteousness to us, put his righteousness into our account, and he took our unrighteousness and put it into his account, into his account. So you see how generous our Lord is. Yes, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Credited his righteousness to us and credited our unrighteousness to himself. My dear friends, thank God for this bountiful grace, the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the way he deals with us. We must be like our Lord. We must be like the Apostle Paul in the way we deal with other people. As the Lord is very, very generous and very gracious in the way he deals with us, let us be generous and think well of other people. Let us be generous and in the way we relate with other people. Now, let's look further at Paul's gratitude to those folks in the city of Philippi. Now, what is notable is that his gratitude was expressed in prayer to God Almighty. His gratitude was expressed in prayer to God Almighty. He says this, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." He was grateful to the Philippians for their love for him. And their love was, of course, expressed in a practical way. They ministered to his needs. And they sent this man called Epaphroditus to convey or to courier the gifts to him while he was in prison. Now, Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. Yes, he wrote this letter, as I said in the previous message, to actually thank the Philippians for the kindness that they had shown to him, for the gifts that he received from them. Paul did not just receive gifts from them once, but he received gifts from them on numerous occasions. Yes, and then now he was in prison, and he was receiving these gifts from them through this man called Epaphroditus. And then Paul says in Philippians 4:18, "But I have all and abound, and I am a fool, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He had received these gifts from the folks in the city of Philippi. And he wrote this letter to thank them for this gift. And not only did he write this letter for the purpose of thanking them, but he was also thanking them for sending Epaphroditus, who actually became very sick when he was ministering to Paul till he nearly died. And the Philippians had heard about the condition of Epaphroditus, and they were very concerned, worried about him. So Paul wrote this letter and said and assured them that Epaphroditus had actually recovered, to comfort them, to calm them of their anxieties. So he wrote them actually for two purposes, to thank them for the gifts and thank them for sending Epaphroditus to minister to him, and also to assure them that Epaphroditus had actually recovered. Now, if Paul were to thank the Philippians in the usual, normal human way of thanking, what would he say? How would he say it? Probably he will say something like this, something quite direct, all right? He will say to them, "Oh, thank you very much for sending Epaphroditus who came and ministered to my needs. Thank you. I really have received this gift from you, and I'm very, very thankful for these gifts that you sent to me. Yes, now I have been abundantly satisfied by the gifts that you sent to me." Now, that probably will be the usual way of thanking people, right? A very, very direct way of thanking people. "I thank you very much." But that was not what he said. He said more than that. Yes, he said this, I thank my God. He didn't just thank the people. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In other words, he expressed his gratitude to them in his prayer unto the one true living God. And he made it known to the folks in the city of Philippi, I thank my God for you, for your kindness, for your goodness in providing for me. Now, which of the two ways of thanking people would be more heartfelt, more deep, and more earnest? Which of the two ways? The usual human way, I thank you, or you bring in God's name. I thank God for you for providing for me. Now, which of the two ways would be more earnest and more heartfelt? It naturally will be the second way, right? The second way will be a more heartfelt way of thanking people. You see, when we thank people in that way, we say, well, I thank my God for you, for providing for me, for helping me. What we are actually saying is this: God knows my heart, that I am actually very, very thankful to you for all that you have done for me. That's what we are saying. God knows my heart, that I'm very, very thankful to you for all that you have done for me. You see, that kind of expression of gratitude is really very deep and very earnest. Now, not only is this way of saying thank you more earnest and more heartfelt, yes, it also acknowledges the fact that it is God who moved the hearts of the people to provide him with the help. The help is not coincidental. The help is not incidental. It is not accidental. But it is purposeful. The help is provided by the providence of God. So when we say thank you to people through our prayers to the one true living God, we are actually acknowledging God's goodness. And when we thank people in that manner, we are actually bringing honor and glory to God. We are acknowledging and telling people that our God is good, kind, gracious, faithful, able. We are telling people that. I say that way of thanking people is a very, very heartfelt way of thanking people indeed. So, is it problematic for us to thank people in that manner? As I urge all of us, my dear friends, if we have received some help or from some people, yes, it might sometimes be good to say this: I thank God for the way that you have helped me, right? For the gifts that you have given to me, for the special help that you have rendered to me. It is good, my dear friends, to acknowledge that it was God who moved the people to provide us that help. And it is good also because we are telling people that God knows my heart, how I feel about you when you gave me the gifts to help me. Now, what was notable about Paul's gratitude to those folks in the church at Philippi was his frequent remembrance of them. He didn't just remember them one time and then he forgot about them. No, he remembered them. He remembered them in every prayer of his. Now, why did he remember them in that way? Now, he remembered them in that way because he truly loved them. He loved them, that's why he remembered them in that way. And so we read in verses 3 and 4. Again, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always, you see, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So he was thanking God for the folks in the city of Philippi in every prayer of his. He would remember them. Now he remembered them because he truly loved them. And how did he express his love for them? All right, we come back to the same thing. He expressed his love for them by his gratitude towards them, by saying thank you to them in a very, very earnest manner. I told you about this, wealthy, large-hearted believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who helped believers who were in deep financial trouble. And he was very generous. And the people who needed help came to him for help, not for just a few $100s or not just for a few $1,000s. Of course, there were people who came to him for that amount of help. But there were people who came to him to ask for help to the tune of a few $100,000s. And did this man help them? He did. He helped them, and then helped them clear the debts. But you know, sad to say, these people really love him. They were supposed to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they really, really believe? They really love him. My dear friend, sad to say, I don't think they really love him, because this wealthy, large-hearted Christian said this, and he lamented. He said, "These people whom I've helped don't even bother at Christmas time to send me a Christmas card." He said that to me. Yes, from his very mouth, he told me that. So that tells us a lot about the lack of love of such people for him. Now, friends, if we truly love others, yes, if they have given us some help, my dear friends, let's be very, very grateful to them for their help and for their favors. Yes, and if we are very sincere about them and are sincerely grateful to them for their help to us, yes, it might be good for us to be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, to such people, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." It is good to tell them that, "Well, thank you very much, and I remember your kindness and your goodness to me, and I always remember you before God's throne of grace." Yes, it's good to tell them that. Next, I'd like us to see Paul's gratitude towards the Philippians on account of their contribution to the work of the gospel. He was grateful to them. For what? For their contribution to the work of the gospel. You see, the giving of these folks in the city, the giving by the folks in the city of Philippi was really very, very sacrificial. See how much the Philippians actually contributed. You look at Philippians 4, 15 and 16. All right, Philippians 4, 15 and 16. How generous they were. All right, verse 15. "And you, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel," remember Paul brought the gospel to the city of Philippi, founded their church, so he was recounting that. He said, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Nobody did that, but you only. Yes. "For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity." So they cared for him. When he left the city of Philippi and went to the next city, the city of Thessalonica, they continued to remember him. They continued to provide for him. They sent gifts not only once, but twice. Then in the course of those 10 years, we do not know how many times they sent gifts to Paul to support him. But we know for sure when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, this time when he wrote this letter, these folks cared for him to the extent that they sent this man, Epaphroditus, to courier the gifts to him, to minister to him, and brought these huge gifts to the Apostle Paul to support him. You see, that was how great this church was in giving. And Paul was very, very grateful to these Philippians for being so contributory in the work of the gospel. And then in encouraging the Corinthians to give, now this was another church, the city of Corinthians, and the members in the church in the city of Corinthians, we have been studying this book, and we know how problematic the members were in this church, the kind of chaos that we see in this church. And Paul was encouraging them to give. And how was Paul going to encourage them to give? Paul cited the example of the Philippians, the people in Macedonia. And so he says this, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, and to verse 4, you will see how generous the Philippians were in giving. Right? Let me read to you 8, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." I'd like you to know about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, the churches of Macedonia would include the church in the city of Philippi, because Philippi was in Macedonia, all right? So he was talking about the church in Philippi. How that a great of trial of affliction, the abundance of the joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. Now, the church in Philippi was by no means a rich church. It was not. They were suffering and perhaps they were being persecuted. Yet they gave so very, very liberally. They were so filled with the joy of the Lord that they gave abundantly. Their joy was so overflowing that they gave abundantly and they gave sacrificially. And verse 3, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, they were very sacrificial in their giving, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And of course, Paul realized that this church was really very poor. But yet they wanted the gift. And then they told Paul, please take this gift from us. We want to contribute to the work of the gospel. Please, Paul, take it. That's what they were saying. So Paul cited the example of the Philippians to the members in the church in the city of Corinth to encourage them to give, because the church in the city of Philippi was a very, very, a church that was very, very generous in giving. Now, looking at Mother Church, our Calvary Pandan, we have a lot to thank the Lord for the generosity of Mother Church. She sets a great example for giving. The people there really are very generous. And it has been due to the abundant giving of Mother Church that a good number of Bible Presbyterian churches have been established beyond the shores of Singapore. Yes, one of which is, of course, none other than our church here, Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. It is because of the generosity of Mother Church that we are here today. Friends, let us give cheerfully. And some might feel that, well, I don't have much to give, because if I give, I'm so poor, the little that I give is not going to make any difference at all. Some might have this kind of feeling. But if you have such thoughts, just remember what the Lord said about this widow with two mites. Remember, there was the occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the temple of Jerusalem and he saw how people gave. Of course, the rich people gave. They gave a lot. And then this widow, she was a poor woman and she gave her two mites. And this was what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Yes, the rich people gave a lot and they gave out of the abundance that they had. But this widow, she gave her two mites. And the two mites was all that she had, and she gave her all. So in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave more? The widow who gave two mites, or the rich people who gave out of their abundance? Yes, the conclusion is obvious, my dear friends. The Lord wants us to have that conclusion. Yes, let us not think that our giving does not make any impact. But friends, let us give in a manner that pleases the one true living God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us give cheerfully for the cause of the gospel. Today we are still receiving help from Mother Church. We do. Not in a big way, but in a small way, but in the near future we are going to receive more help. We need to have more help from Mother Church. But let us pray that one day, not in the too distant future, this church will be a self-supporting church. And not only will we be self-supporting, but we will progress to a point where we will indeed be a giving church, giving help to missions and to churches that are in need of our help, so that upon receiving what we give, they may be able to thank God and say, thank God for Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church. Thank God for their generous giving. My dear friends, I pray that that day will come when our church will be in such a position in which we will be able to give generously so that people will appreciate the goodness of God through us. So let us learn from the Apostle Paul. When we look at our other people, particularly those who are members of the household of faith, let us not focus on their weaknesses, let us not focus on their failures, but let us, my dear friends, be very generous in the way we look at them. Let's, by the grace of God, think well of them, and don't just think of well of a few people in the church, but let us, by the grace, learn to think well and to think generously of all our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping with us in this church. And then, if we want to be thought of as being worthy, we ourselves must work hard to be worthy to be thought of. We must work hard to earn a good report from men, from God, as well as from men. Christ must be clearly seen in us. You remember what that ruffian said to Captain Beagle? Yes? If we fail, Christ fails. If we leave Christ, Christ will be revealed by us to other people. And then the best way to show our gratitude to others is to tell them, that we are thanking the Lord for them, for their goodness, and thank them for their goodness that that they have shown to us. And then when we thank people in that way, we are actually bringing in the name of the Lord for us to glorify. Yes, we thank God. We bring God's name for us to glorify. We are in actual fact telling people that our God is good, very kind, very gracious, very faithful, and that He's able to provide. That's what we are telling people. And so by thanking people in that way, our gratitude is heartfelt, our gratitude is earnest, and by so doing, we are also glorifying the name of the Lord. Finally, let us work towards being a giving church, yes, that is well remembered and recognized for her generosity, so that those who receive help from us may be able to thank God for the generous giving that we have made. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Oh Lord, we pray that by the grace of God, we may all be able to follow the example of the Apostle Paul, to think well of other people, to be generous in the way we think of them. And Lord, we pray that you teach us so that we may indeed be a grateful people. We say that we want to love other people, and we know that the way we show our love for people is also to be very grateful to them when they render help to us. And Father, we pray that when we thank people for the help to us, help us to remember that it is you who move them to help us. For Lord, we pray that if we really are wanting to be earnest and sincere in our thanking people, help us, O Lord God, to thank people in your name. And Lord, we also pray that for this church, that in time this church may indeed be one that is a giving church, one that is generous, one that is minded to support missions, one that is minded to support churches that are in need, so that those who receive the gifts from us may be able to thank God for the generosity of our giving. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.